This morning's Bible reading before the lesson is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And the Bible's there in the pews. It can be found on page 1109. 1 Corinthians 15. Brothers, I make known to you the gospel which I proclaim to you, which you accepted, in which you stand, and through which you are saved, if you hold fast the certain message which I proclaim to you, unless you have believed in vain. I delivered to you, first of all, what I had also received, that according to the Scriptures, Christ died for our sins, that according to the Scriptures, he was buried and raised the third day.
Good morning. Before I start, there's a red Kia Soul. Georgia DeKalb 1KW is parked in the fire lane, so could you please move your car? I am so thankful for this privilege and this opportunity to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just pray that if there is somebody out there who's a Christian, I pray that this lesson will continue to encourage you to keep living for God. And if you're not a child of God, I pray that you will listen to the gospel message, that you will want to become a child of God. As I get up in the morning, I get ready to go to work, and I put my clothes on and get ready to go to work, like I said, and I go to work and I see people on the job. I always ask that question: do they have a relationship with God? But I know when I go to the grocery stores and many other places, I continue to ask that question because I can see that a lot of people are lost. And I sometimes just wonder, what can make this nation better? The gospel. What can make the government better is the gospel. But the more and more as I look, I see that we have a job as Christians to continue to preach the gospel in Christ and not be ashamed of it. And like I said, that's all we have is the gospel. But in order for people to obey the gospel, they must be taught. See, that's a job for each individual that has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to teach the people the word of God. See, Peter preached that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost to the devout Jews in Acts chapter 2, as we all turn our Bible. Because we're going to be busy in this word. And I pray and hope that you will open your Bibles and research it for yourself. In Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongue like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we're born? As y'all know, those different types of nations that are there, I'm going to try to skip a little bit because I can keep you here all day till 2 o'clock. But I'm not going to do that to you. But we're going to continue to go on. And Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what mean of this? But there's always somebody trying to tell somebody else that these men was what? Drunk. But Peter stood up and told them, as we continue to go, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my word. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. See, Peter, he didn't preach about philosophy. He didn't preach about sport. But Peter going to continue here, and he's going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go on ahead and keep going. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire, and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass, that whatsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stop there. A lot of people have taken that scripture and just run with it. As I go out and see these different types of denominations, as I woke up this morning to put on my suit, and I see people going to the denomination churches, like the Baptists, they stop right there and say, all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. See, they always stopping right there, but they need to continue to go on to get the message. And he said, and you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. Some of those men took part in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Peter is saying that the blood is on your hands. And he continued to go on. And he said, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. And therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known me the ways of life. Thou shalt make full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak. Freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. People talk about using instruments in the church. Let me tell you something. They say it because David did it. But David is both dead and what? Buried. We need to come to an understanding of that, that David is both dead and buried. So why are you going to use those dead instruments? Let's preach it that way. Let's continue to go on. As they talk about unto this day. And therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he was raised up, Christ to sit on his throne. And he said this before speck of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus have God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses, and therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he have shared forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascending into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on thou my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know certainly that God made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, pray. Now, Peter said, let the Holy Ghost fill you. Matter of fact, let the Holy Ghost lead you. Now, Peter said, let those dreams that you dream, that God enter your dream, and that you got a message to speak. Now, Peter said this. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How do God call you? He called you by this gospel. He called you by the word of God. He called you because it says in Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But if you haven't heard the word of God, you can't obey it. So people keep talking about they got to have an experience. That experience is going to lead you straight to hell. Let's keep it real. That experience ain't going to do anything for you, but you need to hear this word that's being preached today. Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached Jesus unto him. Let's turn our Bible to Acts chapter 26 verse 38. Acts chapter 8 verses 26 through 38. People keep coming around telling you these different things and how they had their experience with God filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. All that stuff going to lead you into a devil's hell. In Acts chapter 8, we turn our Bibles that start at verse number 26, and we talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. He had to hear that word. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of the Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopian, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot, and fill the rain. That's what we need to be doing, people. You hear that key word? And now Philip ran. Philip was ready to preach the word. Philip ran to do the job. Christian, we need to be running. We need to be running, getting this gospel out to these people that are lost. We need to be running. Because Philip ran, as it said, and died unto him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. A lot of people read this Bible, they just pick and choose what they want out of it. A lot of people read this Bible, they don't even have a clear understanding. That's why you got to be taught the word of God if you want to make it to heaven. That's why you got to be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man, the Ethiopian, he's just sitting there reading the book of Isaiah. He did not understand what he was reading, but that was from the Isaiah chapter 53, talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Philip gave him a what? Better understanding. Let's continue. And it said that Philip sat with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee of whom? Speaking of the prophet of this, of himself, and or some other man. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what it's all about. Philip didn't start right there, but Philip said, let's start where you at. And then he led him to the what? To the cross. A lot of people talking about baptism is not essential to salvation. I was talking to somebody at work. He talking about that you know baptism is just a showing of your faith and all this. But I had to tell him baptism does save you. Let's continue to go on, because Philip preached about Jesus and then he gonna end about baptism. And then the Ethiopian eunuch gonna ask him a question about, there goes some water. Let's continue to go on. Start at verse number 35. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What do of hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. A lot of people stop there and just use that scripture, but they got to keep going. And thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch made that great confession. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's what it's all about. See, when you preach Jesus, you're going to preach about baptism. You can't just stop right there and say, believe Jesus in your heart, confess your sins, and just say that you are saved. That's a false doctrine. That's false religion. But we got to understand that you need to obey it the same way the Ethiopian eunuch obeyed, that he got a clear understanding about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he went down in that watery grave of baptism. Because that's what it's all about. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, as Paul well explained what the gospel is, because you got to understand what it is. Let's turn our Bibles there. First Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And as Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in mind what I preached unto you, unless you shall believe in vain. But I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You got to be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't just go on your own and just say, I can just make my own way to God. But you got to be taught the gospel so you can rightly obey Jesus' words. As Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 45, he said, it is written of the prophets, they shall be taught of what? Of God. Every man therefore that have heard and have learned of the Father coming unto me. See, if you want to be saved, you must obey. True hearts of repentance. That's my point number two. Let's talk about Paul's conversion, Acts chapter 10. Let's turn there. Because a lot of people, they keep pointing, they keep talking about Paul, and they don't even understand that he obeyed that same gospel truth, and he showed true repentance in his life. In Acts chapter 10, as we turn our Bibles there. Matter of fact, Acts chapter 9, I'm sorry. And Saul, yet breathing out threatened and slaughtered against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me, thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, saying, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul had to receive some instructions as well. Even though he was blinded by Jesus, and Jesus told, why are you persecuting me? See, church, we need to understand, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that when people come against us, they are coming against Jesus Christ. Because Jesus didn't say, why are you persecuting those people? Why are you persecuting those people who follow me? No, he said, why are you persecuting me? See, God is always with us if we just trust in him and just do what he has told us to do. And that is to obey his commandments and live for Jesus. But as we continue to go on, as Paul was going to receive his instruction, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes was open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Let me start right there. A lot of people keep saying, hey, you want Jesus to come into your life? Just fast. We see Paul did that for how many days? It said 3 days. He was fasting and he still wasn't saved. Let's continue to go on. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord in a vision. Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. I don't know about you, but a lot of us have been scared to go talk to Saul. You know what he was doing. He was killing Christians. I don't know about you. I probably would say, hold on, Lord. I know you're telling me to do this, but do you know the report of this man? This man killed Christians. This man will kill you. But thank the Lord, Ananias, through the boldness and through the inspiration and through Jesus Christ leading him, that he obeyed God's voice, that he obeyed Jesus Christ's voice. But I would have been terrified. And I'm pretty sure he was shaking by the time he was touching Ananias. You really want me to touch him to receive his sight? But let's continue to go on. And then Ananias answered the Lord, and I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentile and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered to the house, and putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, and that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was wet, baptized. That same Paul we know that went on missionary journeys, that did all the things for the work of the Lord, had to obey the same way Christians have to obey today. It said that he was what? Baptized. A lot of people have taken, they don't even know what baptism is. It's not a sprinkling of water. It's not just throwing water, going to play with water guns and throw water at each other. But it is going in that, in Romans chapter 6, as it says that you're going into that grave. That's what it's all about, going into that grave. And to also to be lifted back up to walk in the wet, newness of life. Romans chapter 6 at verse number 3 and continuing to verse 6. And as we talk about another individual, because I'm trying to show you these people who obey the gospel. We look at the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 at verse 25 through 40. We're going to be reading scriptures today, so be ready. But I ain't going to keep you that long. Don't hold me to it. But Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 40, as we think about this, as Paul and Silas is going to do the work of the Lord, going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it says in Acts chapter 16, starting at verse number 25. Matter of fact, that's right. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know they was in massive security. Look what these men are doing. That should be the same way we should be as Christians. But it said they was in jail doing what? They were praying and singing praises unto God. Because they know they was doing the work of who? Of the Lord. They was being happy in Jesus Christ. They were praying and singing songs. And the prisoners heard them. Guess what? They didn't even care if the prisoner heard them. They say, we're going to live for Jesus. And they was praying and singing as we continue to go on. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands was loose. And the keeper of the prisoner, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, and he drew out his sword and would have killed themselves, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. I don't know about you, but if I was locked in prison, that would have been my great escape. I would have been like, see you later, Paul. I'm Silas. See you later. I'm gone. But look at this. None of the prison and Paul and Silas are still there. And this man would have killed himself. He would have been eternally lost. But look at Paul. Because of a soldier, if he lost prison, he would go. He might as well go on and kill himself. That's how much they had to keep their job. That if they was to lose prison, they would eventually kill themselves. But look what he said. Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be what? Saved. That's the question that an individual need to be asking if they're lost. What must I do to be saved? And Paul gave them instruction. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Did they stop there? No. A lot of people would have stopped there and say, oh, he's saved. He still was not in the right relationship with God. But he started, as Paul continued to go on, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that was in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was what? Baptized. And you can see the true signs of repentance of his heart. After he beat them, he washed away their stripes, knowing what he has done. And even this soldier, when he obeyed the gospel, and it said he and all his straightway. And he did well. And he brought them into his house. That is true repentance. Because this brother was not, he was in the right relationship with God. And he became a brother to Paul and Silas. He didn't take them back to prison. But he took them to his house. And look what it says as we continue to go on. And he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. That is a true sign of repentance. And when a person obeyed the gospel, look what it says. This man didn't even care about his life no more because he knew he had his life in Christ. I don't know who's going through hurt or pain. But when you have a right relationship with God, none of that stuff matter. Because you know if you die, that heaven will be your home. That's what it's all about. Look at this man. He didn't even care. And he was a soldier. This man, look, I don't know what happened later on, but I'm pretty sure those people, those Roman government wasn't happy. And they probably took his life. But he didn't care because his life was hid in Christ. Let's go on. Those who believe in sort of Acts chapter 19, verses 10 through 20. These people studied sorcery all their lives. Yeah, we've been in this book of Acts. Boy, this book of Acts, if I was to preach the whole book, we'd be here till midnight, seriously. But I want to watch my Falcons. Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 19. Love my dirty birds. Acts 19, verses 10 through 20. And they continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Then certain other vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus from Paul preaching. There were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was what? Magnified. And many believed and came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious art brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." See, when God's word is preached in its purity and preached, that's what happened. People give up things that they used to do. These people was using evil sorcery. But when they seen the word of God being preached and people obeying, it said that the word of God and the Lord was what? Magnified. If we want to change the world, we need to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and be not... For this is your reason to serve, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God." If you want to see people change, preach the word. You want to see the world better, preach the word. You want to see better homes, preach the gospel. Because the word and the gospel is the same thing. So that's what we need to be doing. And my third point: you can't come to God any kind of way. A lot of people try to do it any kind of way. Denominations is divisive and wrong. It goes against Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verses 18 through 22, when Jesus Christ prayed about what? Unity. Ooh, I'm about to say something. I hope it don't hurt anybody's feelings. That Pope, y'all call him, that people call him Father, he doesn't have no authority. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, it talks about Jesus had all authority, and he is the head of the church. Amen. Y'all don't believe in that Pope. He's just a man. He needs Jesus too. And I ain't talking about through Catholicism, but I'm talking about through the Bible, through the word of God, that church that you find in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 21, because a lot of people running around, confessing, just running around using the name of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse number 13 through 21, as he tell them, "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be finding. Beware what? False prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree can't bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hemmed down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. It's going to be a sad day for a lot of people. A lot of people say that was a good man. But I like when Jesus said, no one is good but who? God. Because Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short of the what? Glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's nobody good. Everybody needs Jesus. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus Christ built his church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. And Peter, he was able to preach that gospel in Acts chapter 2. Ephesians 5:25-32. Let's go there and read. Because I'm tired of people saying you can go to God any kind of way, in any kind of religion. But you need to go the way that God has put in his word. You want to make it to heaven? You got to go by this book. Ephesians 5, let's turn to verses 25-32. Something that we must do as husband. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it. Nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Jesus don't have multiple wives. Let's keep it. He'll be an adulterer if he had multiple wives. But Jesus died for one set of people. Jesus died for that one church that he's going to come back for. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is how I know the Pope ain't got none of that power. We turn our Bibles there. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, not some of it. Not 50%, not 25%, but he said all 100% of it is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. We know he's talking to those apostles and those disciples right there, but we can apply that to us today. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? Some of the things. No, I said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That's why I said you can't join the church of your choice or the body of Christ. We don't do no joining. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says that the Lord added. A lot of people keep saying, I'm going to just go to any kind of church. I try to talk to people on work, and I try to tell you, you can't just go to any type of church you want to go to. You need to go to that church that you can find in the Bible. And I say, you can't, even if you came and visited, you can't join. But you need to obey the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, at verse number 47, it says, praising God and have favor with all the people. Matter of fact, let's go to verse 42. I'm sorry. Because like I said, you can't do whatever you want to do in the Lord's church. And it said they continue what? Steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in breaking the bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And woo, apostles. You got a lot of these fake apostles running around here now. Knowing they ain't never seen Jesus. They didn't even see his baptism. They didn't see him walking on this earth. They didn't even see his crucifixion, and they didn't see him being raised from the dead. Those are signs of an apostle, that they had to see those things. So you got all these fakes running around here, and people just fall, ooh, Joel Osteen make me mad. T.D. Jake, Creflo Dollar, all of them make me mad because they sending people to a devil's hell. Millions of people following that false doctrine. All right, I'm sorry. Get back to the sermon. And they said, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be what? Saved. Like I said, you can't join a church of your choice. We got to continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Now I'm going ahead and get y'all out of here. Conclusion. The gospel is the good news about Jesus. The whole Bible is centered on Christ. 2 Thessalonians, let's turn now. I'm sorry, I can't close my Bible yet. But in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. This is not to scare you, but ain't going to be no nice Jesus when he comes back. While you living, the grace is extended to you. But when you die and you haven't obeyed the gospel, there's no more grace. In 2 Thessalonians, they're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Verses 8 through 10. It said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. No more nice Jesus. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you don't know God's word, and if you haven't obeyed, no more nice Jesus. Anybody who lost out there, I want you to obey the gospel, but it's up to you. Like I tell people, nobody can force you. Our faith is built in Jesus Christ. And I try to urge parents, you can't force your children to believe the gospel. You can bring them to church, let them obey it on their own. Because I talked to somebody about it. He said, the reason why I was baptized, because my parents drugged me to church. He had a drug problem. Because he would drug the church. And he did it because of his family members. Let me tell you something. Don't do it because of your family members. Don't do it because of everybody out here watching you. Do it because you believe in the gospel of Christ. Like I said, there will be a sad day for many who did not take the opportunity to believe the gospel. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, one of my favorite scriptures of all time in the Bible. Well, really, the whole Bible is my favorite scripture. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you take a couple of them words out, to live is to die. When you think about that, Paul had his life hid in Jesus Christ. And that's the same thing we need to do as Christians. I pray that I preach the word that you may be able to understand it. That you need to get a relationship with God. And as I said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I pray and hope there is some precious soul out there who want to obey the gospel. And if you're a child of God, I pray and hope if you're going through the things of this life, because life can beat you up and bring you down sometimes, I pray that you will just come back up. And if you need prayer from us who are saints, this is not a time to be a spectacle, but we need prayer as well. Because we all going through some type of struggle. And I pray and hope that we can be able to be an encouragement to you. But if you're not a child of God, I pray and hope that you will come up and obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we sing the invitational song.